You're listening to part one of the Åland Islands Peace Institute's podcast series, Kastelholm Talks on Peace 2024, on the theme, The Future and Us. Today's podcast is presented in association with Åland's Landskapsregering. This is a discussion between Lise Lindvall, Information Officer at the Åland Islands Peace Institute, and Mikael Knutsson, Researcher and Doctoral Student at Åbo Academy University.
Okay, but tell me, who are you?
Well, my name is Mikael Knutsson. I'm from Denmark. I have a degree in political science. And then I have a Finnish family or Finnish spouse, and we moved to Finland, I think, soon, 7-8 years ago. And then I stumbled across that the University of Turku, they were looking for a person for a project. And I thought, you know, that fits pretty well for me. And I applied and ended up at this Finland Futures Research Center, which is a unit here at the Turku School of Economics, and ended up working with futures research. It's a very strong thing here in Turku. It's a very strong thing in Finland. And it's almost not heard of in many other countries. It's at least very kind of rare thing in Denmark, but it's good that this exists, and I'm really happy to be part of it. And then I'm also doing, at the same time as working as a researcher here, I'm doing a doctorate at Åbo Academy University in political science, but related to kind of in between political science and futures research, and thinking about how political systems, how political institutions, how voters for that matter are oriented towards the future. And how the future is being considered and conceived and being thought upon in the political systems, and how maybe to improve that also. So if there's one kind of personal project here, it's to make this kind of political systems and institutions more future oriented and more aware and more directed towards shaping a better future, I would say.
But have you seen that as a problem in the political system, that we're not looking enough at the future?
I definitely think that it's a problem in many people. Like it's a problem for many of kind of individuals, but also for companies and organizations that we work with a lot, but also political systems, that people are very concerned about, you know, the immediate things and what they are doing. And even if people are often people would like to be more, you know, think long term and think about what are the bigger challenges and what are the strategies. But people get caught up in the everyday, you know, whatever comes up to the agenda at the moment. And of course, political systems are reacting to whatever crisis, whatever happens now, what is on the mind of voters at this moment. And there is there's a strong pull towards thinking about the immediate present. And I think that sometimes people need help and need tools and need kind of, let's say, you need a push to think more about the long term. And that's the one thing. And of course, there are certain topics like climate change where I kind of, it's really harmful in the future. Where and you have to kind of balance between things becoming worse in the future and having to do something that might cost money now, and that kind of trade-off between having to sacrifice something now and the future is always difficult for people or for organizations and for companies, but I think definitely we should be more willing to sacrifice a little bit now for the better kind of long-term development. So that I think is a problem.
But in the political system in itself, usually politicians are elected for 4 years. So is that also a problem, how it's constructed?
I think that's a very, very kind of common thing to believe, at least. And there's certain truth to this, that politicians think about the next election. They think about the next electoral period. Mm. And definitely, I think there's some truth to it. And you can see it also in terms of, let's say, climate change, that people are quite willing to commit to, you know, very very large scale ideas about, let's say, 2050, because that's, you know, someone else will have to deal with this. So mm-hmm. like we can agree in principle about the long term, but, you know, whatever happens now, it's a completely different story. But I do think that's also kind of what research shows, that the politicians do actually care. Politicians care more about the future than the voters do. So in that sense, the problem is not the political system. The problem is, you know, in a democracy, the people elect them are even more thinking about their like immediate future than the politicians do. So I think there's definitely some truth to it, but I think also politicians get a like kind of unfair rap here. Yeah.
And what in the future are you looking at? What themes or what questions?
As a futures researcher, it's very important that you're not trying to predict the future. You're not, you don't have, we don't, as such, we don't know anything about the future.
No.
So we are looking for things that are happening today and kind of signals that would direct towards the future, trends and this kind of very, on the one hand, looking for continuities, like what is happening today that we would expect to become even stronger in the future. And I mean, for example, sustainability, climate change, loss of biodiversity. Some of these trends are really clear. I mean, on the other hand, there's like digitalization and all this kind of digital technology is definitely also, and maybe geopolitics and what happens with kind of the world is less large. And the other thing that is very much on the mind of futures researchers is this kind of change or discontinuity. What if something else would happen? And very this kind of trying to keep an open mind and also help, because people are also politicians and companies and I would say people are not always so good at thinking about what if something completely different happened, and like what if could we imagine if something changed, and what if this is not what we think, like what if how we think about this phenomenon now turns out to not be how it is in 10 years, then what do we do then? That's the one kind of key thing about the future, is that it's not set, it's something that we create, and there is no determined future. So it's something that, you know, you should be aware that it could be different than you think it will be.
So you are imagining different scenarios, future scenarios, and what would you do then if that happens?
That's one way of doing it differently. Like okay, if we have, let's say, these trends today, if these continue in this direction, what and this in that direction, and kind of like sketch out different alternatives that could happen. These are, let's say, possible futures. What would happen if this and in this and this case, what would that mean for you or for your organization or for climate or for, you know, what would this mean for Finland if this happened? And that can be difficult, but I think a very big part of futures research is trying to like spark people's imagination and creativity and helping people think, you know, what if some fundamental thing was fundamentally different? Like how could we build a different society in that case, and these kind of things.
Could you give an example of some future scenario that you have worked on?
Well, I mean, it's always easier to do it kind of looking back, but for example, like it's very classical. Okay, what happens if there's a pandemic? Or what happens if, you know, Russia attacks Ukraine, or these kind of scenarios? It's very
Have you thought about those before it happened?
well, I think the something like a pandemic is one of those that is always in these kind of wild card scenarios. Like, you know, what could happen in the future that would be a totally big thing, and we don't imagine, like we don't plan for it, then the pandemic is always one. And unfortunately, war is also often kind of a thing you could imagine. And of course, it's also possible that things get, you know, markedly better at some point, like that something would happen that would become better in that sense.
So have you thought about the pandemic scenario before the pandemic came, the corona? Did you think about that, and was it anything like what actually happened?
There are many of these kind of reports about, well, possible disasters, but also kind of possible wild cards, like things that would have really big importance but are very unlikely. Like at least we don't think they are very likely. And you can see some of the reports that my colleagues have done, and like let's say 10 years back, there's one especially from EU in 2010, I think, that has the pandemic as a very kind of clear, this is something that could happen, and you know, it has happened throughout human history. It happens once in a while, and it always is a surprise. And these are things that are like the surprises that happens.
And who take part of your research? Is it companies, but is it also politicians? Like, how do you get it out?
It depends very much on the topic at hand. We did a report. I was part of doing a report for the Finnish Prime Minister's office on kind of foresight and future generations in lawmaking. That was the title, FORGE in short. So basically a research for the Finnish government on how to think about long-term when you're doing lawmaking. Right now I'm working on a very concrete project. It's called Strategic Foresight for Sustainability, and it's this kind of pan-European project where we have, together with partners across Europe, we have interviewed, I think, 130 in different industrial sectors or kind of corporate sectors, and I've worked with especially the health sector. So we have interviewed people working with organizations related to health across a range of countries, especially working to hospitals. And a lot of it is not is about how do they think about their organization's future, their field. It's then especially related to sustainability and digitalization, but a lot also to like, how do they think about the future and how is the, what are the kind of barriers they experience to, like, how do their organization work with trying to implement whatever they think about the future? And of course, there's very clear commonalities across the different interviews, different countries, and the health sector, the hospital sector is under a lot of pressure in all the countries. They're all like suffering from not having enough workers and you know, nurses going on strike in different countries. And yeah. it's sort of the same problems. And they're all struggling with that. They know they need to be more effective. They know there'll be more and more demand for health services. They know they need to have digital solutions, but they also have these like very short-term budgets. So they know the long-term development, what they would like to go, but they have all these constraints. But that's one example, like kind of from an academic point of view. We are not so much looking necessarily at the future. Like we're not looking at future, but we're looking at what do people in different settings, in different kind of types, how are they today thinking about the future? And if they have an idea of where they would like to be in the future, how can they more easily get to that point? I think that's a more important part of it. So We can work with individuals. There's a lot of research with young people because you know, they have, of course, important also their futures. Then be politicians, but also a lot of kind of corporate, like organizational, that are companies that need to somehow change or somehow need to adapt to the world is changing. So the organization and the company also need to, you know, be part of that change. They need to change internally, and how to kind of provoke that change and inspire that change. I think that's something we do a lot.
And how do you do that? How do you inspire? Like, where do you get that information from that to help them?
I think many times it's participatory. So often if we're working with a company, for example, it's about facilitating. It's not about telling them this is the future for you, but it's about like helping them get as a tool or methodology, helping them to think about their own future, because that's also the important. And often hear the, if we will come with a report and say this is what the future will look like in 2035, I mean, they will look at it and say nice, and then they will put it on the shelf and move on. So it's more about getting this process of people themselves trying to kind of imagine what will happen in their immediate or like longer term future, and trying to, in many ways, it's about, I think, creating a space for them to not think about tomorrow, but think like further ahead. And a lot of people like that, and a lot of people don't. You don't need to provoke them that much to do it.
No.
You just need to give them a kind of a space and a place and the freedom to think out of the ordinary. What if you don't have to worry about your budget? Or what if you don't have to worry about this? What would you like to do? Sort of provoke, but very much this, that it's not so about telling them, but it's about getting them to tell you. I think that's important.
And then there is also then a belief there that we can do something about our future.
Definitely. I think that's the core, let's say, first law of future studies is that you know, future is something that is not determined. It's something that we escape, like we are creating our futures. We can do something to make it different. I think that's very important. That's also where I think the kind of the history of conflicts and kind of peace research has a lot to do with also the development of future studies, because you need to believe that, you know, a different world or a better, let's say, better world or something else is possible. And you need to have this opportunity of not, like, not always think about who did what yesterday or like what are the problems we're facing tomorrow. But, you know, if you actually sit down and think together about, okay, where do we want to be in 10, 15 years, you might find more kind of shared commonalities than in this kind of everyday, you know, fight for your own interests. It's a fundamental part that we need to believe that we can, that things could be different.
Mm. But what do you then think about this in media now? And I almost hear it every day that everyone is saying that the future is really dark. It's we're painting that scenario quite a lot right now. Do you believe that, or do you have hope there also that we could do something to change it?
Well, I would say both, like, oh, yes to all of it.
Yeah.
I definitely think there are like things that are, you know, dark clouds on the horizon, and it's, that's also, there are a lot of things that if we don't change anything, the future is quite bleak. That's I think fundamentally I would subscribe to. Some of the things are, let's say, almost too late, or there will be like a response, and there will be like decades where it will go to a certain direction because that's already kind of built into the system. But also that's I think that's a call for action in that sense. So definitely,
yeah.
It's I do believe it's something that is possible to change. But also this highlighting if we don't change it's going to be worse. It's kind of inspiring in the sense that, okay, then we actually need to think about what can we do differently and how should we do things differently. I do believe fundamentally it's possible to to make world better.
But you mean in that process, you need to also put the facts on the table and problems and look at them and see what you can
absolutely
do.
Absolutely, you need to have the basic, like, okay, this is what it looks like if we don't change anything. I think that's kind of fundamental. And that's the one thing. And it's also, there are also other things where, let's say, AI or some digital tools, you can say that, okay, if we don't do anything, it is possible that this bleak future will happen. And that's not facts as such, but it's kind of like, this is a possibility that, you know, it will go to that direction if we don't care, if we don't stop, if we don't. And there are many of these things where you can kind of, we don't know how bad it will be, but we can see some sort of warning signals of whatever development. And then it's kind of, it's relevant also to say that, okay, but it's possible that it will be bad, and it's possible that we can do something. And I think that's also the kind of core of future studies and future research, that it's about what could happen in the future, but it's even more about what does that mean for what we should do today. It's a call for doing something different today rather than, you
so
know,
the present
just wait
is,
and see.
Yeah, so the present is also important. What you're doing now is
the
also
present is it, super important. It's the most important.
Yeah. And also the past, are you taking experiences and knowledge from the past in your work?
I think, I think that's, it depends a little bit the context, but I definitely think I'm personally very interested in history and the past. And I think it's very important because it is often also a predictor of the future in a sense. You find very often in political discussions, for example, that people kind of speak on behalf of the future. And it often happens to be that people speak about on behalf of a future that just happens to align completely with what they are otherwise, you know, wanting to do or say. So it's kind of, you're taking the future a little bit like hostage to your own political ideas. And people do the same also, I guess, with the past, that, you know, you have this idea that because the past was this, and people, you also find this, that people talk about the past in a way that because the past was like this, then the future is also going to be the same.
Yeah.
I take a bit distance from that because that's not necessarily true. And also,
no.
Like, if the past was like full of conflict, it doesn't have to mean that we will have a future full of conflict. That's up to us also to kind of
Exactly.
to change. But absolutely, I think the past is important because the past is full of people who had a future and they acted in certain ways and something happened and certain development went to certain directions and I think we can learn a lot from that also from let's say the from here and into the future we can learn a lot from the past and how the past was until their futures.
But with some care, like you say, not to think that it will happen exactly the same.
No, like exactly the same. I mean, there are just to use one kind of example of this, like Russia and Ukraine, and then you have this Putin talking about it as kind of like a 1300-year conflict that is now,
Right.
continuing, and that is invoking the past, and in a way that it because of this all this history, the future has to be exactly, in my view. And the same, you could have that, yeah, because our future is like a future for my people. If you people invoke also the future, that's kind of we take this action because we are compelled from something. And I think both of those you have to be very kind of careful with that. It's not, there can be some,
Yeah.
let's say, some reasonableness in doing something because of the past, and it can definitely also be because of some imagined future. People can also use that wrong, and that's I think one thing that I hope futures researchers can also kind of help make people, individual people, more critical about like when they hear something in the media about the future, they should be kind of literate to say that okay, but are you sure, or is it just not because you have some interest today, and this kind of distinguish between what is. Let's say what is a good way of using the future and what is perhaps like a misuse of the future. And the same, I guess, with the past also.
Can it be also
People can use it and they can ab abuse it also.
that, can you see that people actually create then a future based on the past that wasn't necessary? It didn't have to be created like that, but because we were using the past, it becomes like a prophesia that you,
Prophecy.
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very, very common. That is very, very common that people are like kind of societies, but also like individual people. Like I'm trying to think of an example, but if you used to have a fossil car because you used to drive here and there and do something, then you buy a new fossil car because it was once necessary. And then of course then you have created for sometime in the future, you have like then kind of built in what is your future in that sense also. A lot of companies, a lot of organizations, they react that okay, this thing happened in the past, and now we prepare, as you say, like the saying goes that the general's always preparing for the last war. So you are learning from your mistakes, and then you are preparing not to make the same mistakes again. But it turns out that you're also fighting the same, but like you're fighting the former battle, not the kind of future battle. And of course, that way of what you are doing, even if it might be smart based on the past, if it's a different future, then it's also you are locking yourself into a certain type of behavior,
Do you
and
see
it
that
can be smart
actually?
and it can be wrong in that
Yeah,
sense.
yeah. No one knows actually, because no one knows the future. But can you see that? I mean, you're living in Finland now, and there is like a collective memory of what happened with Russia in the past, and also in Europe, and now it's a lot of militarization in the debate, and everyone is preparing almost for a war. What do you think about that?
One thing I think is it's striking how much Finland, this like futures research and this kind of thinking about the future is a much bigger thing in Finland than it is, for example, in Denmark. And I think part of it is the this is speculation, but not entirely untrue, I think. Part is the climate that people have always needed to plan, and part is culture that people are quite risk averse, people are conservative, and you want to be prepared. And part is definitely also the history that there is a this fundamental trust that you need to be prepared if something bad happens, for example, at the border with these neighbors and with these situations. Whereas other countries have, if the climate is easier and neighbors are nicer, and it's a little bit easier to not worry and not to like plan for bad bad scenarios. I think a lot of thinking about the future in Finland comes from this need to be prepared because, you know, you have learned from the past that bad things can happen.
Exactly.
And then sometimes if, let's say, when the pandemic hits, you are a little bit starting from a better place because you already knew that bad things could happen and you are like, you know, ready for bad things. And the same also, I think, with the war, that it's to Finland's credit in many ways that you are, Finland is more, you know, mentally and also kind of, let's say, physically or materially ready for bad things. But it's also, of course, also if you're all the time preparing and you're preparing through, you know, putting a lot of money. I don't think Finland is a bad case here, but other countries, maybe example, like you put a lot of money and effort to the military because the military might be re you like it might be necessary in case of bad happens. But if you are putting, let's say, military before diplomacy, you are putting these kind of things before. I mean, of course, you're maybe better off if the world goes the wrong direction, but you're also not really making it in a bit like you are also helping to move things in a militarized way,
In
and
that direction.
you are saying that military solutions are the, you know, the solutions in that sense. So definitely that's a risk in the sense that you want to be prepared for bad things that can happen, but you also want to take actions that make sure they're not necessary.
And as a person, I mean, you can worry too much, and that fear, I mean, also stops you from living. And I guess that can also happen on a nation level or
I think absolutely, and I think there are so many things to be fearful about. Like, I mean, war is one, environment, climate, you know, economy. There are so many things to be fearful about, and in that sense, I think it's really important to keep in mind is that better things are possible, and also and so one the better things are possible that it can go to a better direction also. One and two that. Like you can take actions to make things go through that better direction. There are the possible very dark futures, and there are the possible. It's hard for people. It's hard even for me to imagine like really good futures. But you know, let's say let's bleak, less dark futures, and these like it's up to us in many ways to determine if we are going to the really bad place or the not so bad place, and that's like keep that in mind and take actions in the terms that inspires you, and I think that's definitely something to keep
That's
in
really
mind.
inspiring in both on a private level and on a more political level. Have you changed as a person, your view on life and the future working on these questions and doing this research?
Maybe a little bit, but it's also. I would like to say yes and say that, but of course it's you know you have a detached and there are like things that are difficult and all this and every day is you know there's the everyday life kind of hassle and the longer term. But I do think that one fundamental thing is that the future is not about the future. The future is about now. I think that is something that I try to take a little bit more, you know, also into my kind of private belief system in that sense, and I don't know if I act sufficiently enough on it, but I do believe that you know the future is something that it's about what we are doing now and what we try to and if we are not doing anything, that's also kind of that also helps to shape the future in that sense.
Really interesting. Thank you.
You've listened to part one of the Åland Islands Peace Institute's podcast series, Kastelholm Talks on Peace 2024, on the theme, The Future and Us. Today's podcast series is presented in association with Åland's Landskapsregering. This was a discussion between Lise Lindvall from the Åland Islands Peace Institute and researcher and doctoral student Mikael Knutsen, who will be taking part in the roundtable discussions after the Kastelholm Talks on Peace. Don't miss this year's Kastelholm Talks on Peace on the 21st of March with Kåge Hammar, Bi Puranen, and Lotta Tuominen. More information can be found at peace.ax. Thanks for listening.